Yes, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Precious blood, I found.
Glad tonight they're all washed away. Praise the Lord. Not just a few of them, not just 8 or 10 of them, but every one of them is washed away. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play it one more time, guys, if you will. Let's sing that chorus again, if you will. All your heart. I'm amazed that you love me. Lord, a good hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Amen. Well, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Brother Darrell blessed her heart, didn't he? We just appreciate the word of the Lord. You can be seated for just a while tonight. We're going to look at our prayer requests. Have several things to let you know about, Brother John, if you'd get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Rachel Scott says to please continue to remember Brother Randy Scott in prayer for his recovery. So let's remember that tonight. This is a prayer request for you, Brother Emmanuel Akron Sr. from Brampton, Canada, who lost his wife and 5-year-old son in a swimming accident. So they're asking that we would certainly remember that family in prayer as the Lord just would gird them with his love and be with them during this time. Brother Mike Johnson sends us in that he's a man that he works with, asked for prayer for his family. They're facing a problem that came up very unexpectedly, a severe situation in their lives. They're asking that we would remember that need tonight. I want to continue to remember the Moyer family in prayer as their legal battles continue over their children. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Laura Krause, who is at home tonight, not feeling well. Let's remember her as we pray. Pray for Landon Seabach. A car hit the four-wheeler that he was riding, which threw him and flipped his ATV, but he's alive. Praise the Lord. He has a lot of multiple bruises and sore places and requests prayer. So let's remember that. Brother Chuck Saminsky sends that in. Sister Lana Jones says to please pray for Iwanda Wichter, who is a friend of my neighbor's. She has already had open heart surgery. So they're asking that we remember that need tonight. Also, she says to please pray that my test will return with good results. She had one stress test and it came back with great numbers. So she wants to praise the Lord and just trust in the Lord for a good report on this other test that she had. Did Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for protecting him and being with him during his accident. So let's thank the Lord for that. Also, Brother Matt Carter is in the hospital with digestive problems, so we certainly want to remember him in prayer tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? Amen. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Could we stand together tonight? If you have a need, just commit it unto the Lord, Brother John, if you'd come take these needs to the Lord tonight. Certainly appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's go to the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, as I sit and listen to the petitions, Lord, and thought about, Father God, the different situations, Lord, a father losing his wife and child in an accident, Lord, and an ATV accident, and all these things, Lord Jesus. Lord, I couldn't help but put myself in that man's shoes, Lord, or in each situation, Lord, and as much as I'm capable of doing it, sitting on a pew, Lord, we know that you did it on a cross, Lord. You looked ahead in time, Father, and you saw the pain and the suffering. Lord Jesus, you saw the heartache. You saw the hurt, Lord. And Father, you didn't hesitate to go to the cross because you knew that we would need a healing balm, Lord. We would need that balm in Gilead, Lord. And Father God, you have provided a way. You have made a way, Father God, for these requests, Lord Jesus, to be met. And we meet him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon your word, upon your promise. Lord, we know that you can't heal one person, Lord. You've already done it, Father God. I pray that you would raise the faith in the building, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to meet the expectation you have for our faith, that we would be able to see results, Lord Jesus, because you promised it. You said you would give it to us, Father. We're not beat down begging children, but we're sons and daughters, Lord. And you said, Lord, if a son would ask for a loaf of bread, you would not give him a stone, Father. So we come before your throne, Lord Jesus, and we lay these requests at your feet, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're more than able. Lord, we're asking for healing. We're asking for miracles. We're asking, Lord Jesus, that you would take these, Lord, and move upon them according to your will and your purpose, Father. Lord Jesus, we love you so much for it, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for a relationship, Lord. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I know you, that I don't have to hesitate to call on your name, Lord, because you know my name and I know yours, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would just move in this service today, Lord, and these churchgoers, Lord, would not just be churchgoers anymore, Lord, but, Lord, that they would have a relationship like so many of us do, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would just anoint the minister, anoint the music, anoint the singers, Father God, as we lift you up and praise you, Father. This is the house of praise. This is the house of worship, Lord. May we make it manifest, Lord Jesus, with all our hearts and all our minds. We pray and we believe in Jesus' name. Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. We've sung it a lot, but let's sing it one more time. We're in a church that's rising up. Are you glad to be part of that church? Not this particular building, but we're part of a greater group of people than what is here tonight. We're part of a universal church. Are you glad about it? Are you glad to be in God's economy? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him with all your heart. We're rising up. We're rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Yes, rising up. Oh, there's a New Testament church rising up. Oh, rising up.
Rising up.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
There's a New Testament church rising up.
Across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in a wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold, they turned that old world upside down.
We're rising up.
Plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Then the spirits were cast out.
Oh, yes.
In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. But if you think it's all long gone,
oh, yes.
And all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last day's
appointment,
Holy Spirit, more and more, like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. Well, if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last day. like a mighty eagle, your strength here renewed.
We're rising up. We're rising up.
Rising up.
Oh, we're a new destiny church. Rising up.
Rising up.
Yes, we are.
And
we're rising up. Hallelujah.
My God is awesome.
Amen. Sister Roseanne, she's here tonight. She'll come on the platform. Also, Brother Marcus Turner and Iris, his wife, is here tonight. Brother Marcus is going to be giving us a song. If you'll come onto the platform, but let's sing this chorus together tonight. How about your God? Can you think of any one word that would really describe him? He's awesome, isn't he? My God is awesome. How about yours? Is he really awesome? Do you really mean that? Do you really believe that? Surely you don't persuade that's the truth. More than truth. Our God is awesome tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. My God is awesome. He's awesome. Yes, he's awesome. My God is awesome. My God is awesome.
He can move a mountain.
Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he's just awesome.
He's awesome.
He's so awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign.
Hallelujah. My God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for you.
It's a blessing when I see the dark clouds parting. When the rain is gone and sun is breaking through, I anticipate when life will just be normal. Just to close my weary eyes and rest in you. My heart can rest so easy when there's blue skies. When the wind is gone and rain is not in sight. How I long to hang my sword above the mantle. Away from harm and distant from the fight. But I wouldn't know your peace without the hard times. Or be thankful for relief without the pain. I wouldn't love the light if it were not for darkness. Or appreciate the sun without the rain. How could I understand forgiveness without failure? Or feel the warmth of love without the bitter cold? How could I hold your healing hands without affliction? And be blessed to see your mercies all unfold. Sure, it's a blessing to be safe, secure, and warm. But Lord, I want to thank you for the storm. Imagine as Peter sat in prison. He may have paced the floor with chains around his feet. And in his mind the devil taunted as he whispered, "The battle's lost and this is your defeat." But then his mind went back to that night in the tempest, when the master spoke and winds and seas obeyed. And he remembered that storm calming all around him. He could rest in that dark prison unafraid. But Lord, I want to thank you. the soul.
Say, it's always so good to be here. To be here tonight. Things of earth no longer matter on that morning when the skies are split and saints are called away. Most of all, I want to be among that number, the bride of Christ, set apart in white array. Well, most of all, I want to look upon the Master, oh, and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run this race. Hear Jesus say, you've kept the faith. Oh, most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. Everything down here on earth will lose its value when compared with all the glory we're gonna behold. But most of all, just to look upon the Master will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold. Oh, most of all, I want to look upon the Master. Oh, and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race. Hear Jesus say, I've kept the faith. But most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. Oh, the country where no twilight shadows deepen. Oh, it's an ending day where night, it'll never be. No storm clouds ever gather. Lord, now this is just what heaven means to me. Worship the Lord. Oh, and what will it be when we get over yonder? Oh, and join the throng upon the glassy sea. Of Jesus, oh, before whose image other loves all flee. Oh, and when they crown him Lord, I'm gonna be there. Hallelujah. Oh, for this is just what heaven means to me. See, oh, will heaven means to me. Praise the Lord.
Enjoy the singing tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, guess who's here?
Praise the Lord. God bless y'all this evening. Do you love the Lord? Are you happy to be a Christian? I'll tell you, it's an exciting hour to be alive. It's an exciting hour to be a Christian. Amen. We greet you this evening in the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we'll go right on in the Word tonight. We'll invite you to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We greet you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you this weekend. And I tell you, if you was over in the meetings in Ruth this weekend, you were surely blessed. Amen. Brother, just the ministry of the Word and how the Spirit of God came down among us. And I'll tell you, as Brother Donnie was preaching last night, I never was so proud in all my life to be a message believer. I tell you, he took this message and beat the devil over the head. Amen. While he was preaching, I leaned over to my wife and I said, "That's the preaching I grew up under." So it was a real blessing, and we sure do love the Lord. Amen. Amen. I wonder if before we read the Word, if we can just bow our heads together, and we'll just ask the Lord to bless the service this evening and bless His Word. And I wonder how many have a special need up on your heart. You just like to be remembered. Amen. Hands up all over the building. Let's just approach Him now. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. And Father, we're truly grateful to be called your children, Lord. And Lord, when we live in such an evil day, dear God, and how that your mercy and grace has come to our lives and how you've changed us, Lord. Lord, how you raised us up out of a fallen condition, dear God. And Lord, as we heard Brother Donnie speaking last night upon redemption, Lord. And Father, how you changed us so much, Lord, to be like you, dear God, that Lord, to know that if the devil would even get around us, Lord, he wouldn't want to be around us very long because of the manifestation of redemption on the inside of our soul. Father, it just so thrills our hearts to know that's what you've done for us. And Lord, as we've gathered here this evening, dear God, we've come to bring our little licks of fire together. For Lord, where the little licks of fire come together, there the pillar of fire is made known among your people. And Lord, you've seen each and every hand that was raised here tonight. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, may you come down upon this meeting tonight, dear God. May you heal the sick, Lord. May you save the lost, Father. Lord, if there'd be one without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, Lord, I pray that you would open the windows of heaven tonight, God. And Lord, may you pour out the Holy Ghost upon every vessel. Revive us, dear God. Refresh us in your presence, Lord. And when we would leave this place, dear God, may we be able to say, Lord, did not our hearts burn within us as you come and talk to us along the way. We love you this evening, Lord. We give you all the mercy. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, Lord, for all the mercy that you bestowed upon us. Lord, if we could just take this opportunity right now to say, Lord, if you never do another thing for us, Lord, if you never bless us again, Lord, you've done so much for us already. All the grace and mercy you've given us, Lord, we can never repay you, Father. We love you tonight, God. Have your way among us, we ask. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this evening. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. Here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you. You're my new best friend.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 8. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed." I love that right there. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Notice, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." And notice here what Paul says in verse 13. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." Right. May the Lord this evening add the blessing to the reading of his word as you may have your seats. We thank the Lord this evening for the reading of the word of God. Amen. I want to speak to you this evening upon a thought here, and we just trust the Lord will bless us. It's good to see everyone out tonight in the house of God. And if I would give this a title, I would like to speak to you upon living in the same faith. Living in the same faith. I believe that we're living in a very exciting time. Amen. I believe the hour that we're living in, I believe it's not a time to get cold. I don't believe it's an hour to lose the fire or to lose the zeal or to lose the eagerness to serve God. I believe we're living in a time of fulfillment. You know, it's amazing how that Brother Branham tells us, and what is the attraction on the mountain? He said, it's something when God gives the prophecy. He said, but it's another thing when God fulfills the prophecy. He said, see, when the fulfillment comes, he said, then comes the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And I just want to say, I believe that the God of the Bible is the same God that is here among us tonight. You know, Brother Branham built his ministry, built his campaigns. He preached it for years that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. And he said, he'll never change in his nature. He'll never change in his characteristics. He said, you can always identify him the same way. And here in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says here, amen, that we having the same spirit of faith. Now, in the book of Psalms 116 and verse 10, David actually said, amen, the same thing here that Paul says, I have therefore, amen, believed and therefore I have spoken. And what David there is saying, or what Paul is saying, amen, is we believe that we shall receive the fulfillments of what God has spoken. Amen. We believe that we shall receive the fulfillments of all of God's promises. Now, we know that God's promises are not yea and nay, but Paul says, amen, that God's promises are yea and they are amen. So whatever God has promised, we can trust tonight, amen, that if he has promised it to us, we shall have it. Amen. If he promised us healing, we shall have healing. If he promised us salvation, then we shall have salvation. If he promised us resurrection, then somebody is going to possess the promise of resurrection. You see, this is not the hour, amen, that God is making promises, but this is the hour God is fulfilling promises. Amen. You see, he is here, amen, and he's not dealing with a church that is partially convinced. He's not dealing with a church, amen, that's somewhat persuaded, but he is dealing with a church, amen, that is just as persuaded as Paul was. They are fully convinced that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is our God, and he's here among the church. You see, we know that these promises are not false promises, but these promises are true promises, knowing, amen, that we speak and what we've heard, amen, it's been spoken not by just a man, but it's been spoken by God. You see, this is the hour of deliverance. Amen. This is the hour that he does not fail those who put their trust in him. Amen. Let me just stop here and say this. You can put your trust in a lot of things right now, and a prophet has already said the world is falling apart. It's falling apart again, but there is a kingdom that is coming, amen, that shall never fall apart. I'll just tell you tonight, it's an eternal eternal kingdom. It's got an eternal king. Amen. And you're an eternal people that's going to live in an eternal kingdom. You see, that is a promise that was not given by Brother Branham. It was not given by a pope. It was given by Jesus Christ himself. And the same faith that was in a prophet is the same faith that's in the church. Amen. You see, the same faith that was in Simeon to believe that he was not going to see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. That is the same faith that's in this building tonight. When somebody says, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to go in a rapture. Amen. You see, we are here tonight. We are not like some, amen, that is almost persuaded, but we are fully persuaded tonight, amen, that everything God said he would do, he is either doing it, he has done it, or he's going to do it. Can you say amen? You see, having the same spirit of faith, that is coming from the saints of the Old Testament, David in particular, when he said, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. See, that is, I trusted in God, and therefore he hath put this song of praise in my mouth. Amen. He has literally put a song of praise in the mouth of his believers. Oh, amen. We should never sing the devil's tune. We should never sing the song of defeat. We should never preach the sermons of defeat. Amen. If there's ever been a group of people that ought to be the happiest people on this side of eternity, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. You say, how can you say that? Because we've not just received prophecy, we have received fulfillment of the prophecy that's been spoken. You see, we preach the gospel. Can we agree there? Amen. That the gospel is not played. Amen. The gospel is not tracts being passed out. But the gospel is the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes you may get discouraged because you come to a church and they call you a bunch of man followers. Amen. God bless you, Brother Wallace. They call you a bunch of man followers. They call you a bunch of fanatics. Amen. But let me tell you something. There's something different, amen, about the bride of Jesus Christ than there is anything about those churches out there. And that is, we have got the God of the Bible has stepped back in the church once again. And he's not here just by creed. He's not here just by dogma. He's not here by some, glory to God, he's not here by some man's idea, but he's here by the power of his word. He's here by the demonstration of his spirit. Hey, all things are possible tonight to them that'll believe he is here. Amen. To them that'll put the word, amen, not just in letter form, but we'll put the word in action. You see, David said, though I may be going through troubles, and though I may be going through trials, I have therefore believed, and now for I'm going to speak. You see, David must have believed in what he was hearing. You see, there must have been something, amen, that come over David. And David said, we believe that God will raise us up out of the hand of our enemy. There must have been something come over David when he said, if I can just get in his presence, that in his presence is the fullness of joy. Oh, amen. In his presence is the fullness of joy. You see, David knew that if a man can make his... I'm getting into the morning, but I'm just going to preach. David knew if a man could get his way in the presence of God, he knew that no man could stand in the presence of God in a sinful condition. He knew if a man got in the presence of God, that man was not a sinner. That man stood faultless in the presence of God. Hey, let me tell you something tonight, church. You come in the presence of God and you think you're not worthy and you think you're beat down and you think you're some lowly something or other, the very evidence you're in the presence of God is an evidence that you stand here tonight as the faultless, sinless, spotless, without blemish bride of Jesus Christ. Hey friends, I think it's time we stop living beneath our privileges. We are not here tonight believing in some church faith. We're not believing in some man-made faith, but we're believing in the same faith that was in David is in this church tonight. It's the faith of God that has brought us from the backside of the desert to the presence of the pillar of fire. You see, we are not here tonight around many faiths. Amen. There's many faiths in the denomination. Amen. And that same spirit tries to come over in the message and bring different kinds of faith. But according to the Bible, there is only one faith. Amen. There is only one Lord. Amen. There is only one baptism. You see, amen, you can't have two Lords and have one baptism. You can't have one baptism and have two Lords. Well, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, he said there is one body and there is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So there is one body, there is one Spirit, there is one hope of your calling. And Paul says there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. See, and it's all coming from one God that is the Father of us all. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the Father of us all. He is the Father that is above all. Paul said he's through all and he's in you all. Hey, it was God above us in the pillar of fire. It was God with us in a body called Jesus. But thanks be to God tonight that the kingdom of God is not with observation, but the kingdom of God is in the hearts of his people tonight. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're already living kingdom life by a divine promise. By a divine promise tonight, you can say, I'm already living like him. Oh, you see, the message of the hour has restored us back to a true unity. The message of the hour has restored us back. Remember, it says it's taken us back to true oneness. See, he said in the evening time, Zechariah 14, I'm just laying the foundation, then we'll kick in high gear and run. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. So, amen, the time's going to come when it's not going to be clear and it's not going to be dark. So what's it going to be? It's going to be a gray area. You see, and what does gray represent? Brother Terry, gray represents a confusing time. So the time that the Son of Man returns, he's not coming in an easy time. He's coming in a confusing time. Notice here, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. See, the Lord knew this day was coming. Amen. It shall be known to the Lord. It shall not be day. It shall not be night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Amen. It's going to be a dark day. It's going to be a gloomy day. It's going to be a dismal day. But in the evening time, it shall be light. See, Brother Bram said, what is the evening time? He said, the time comes when there's only enough light to put your name on a roll, to say you're a better church member, or to join some religious society. He said, but the evening time light is going to ripen the seed that is on the inside of you. Oh, now do you see why that creeds and dogmas and traditions of man has never satisfied the deep calling to the deep that's on side of your soul? And then the world was full of creeds. It was full of dogmas. It was full of traditions. It was full of man's ideas. It was full of different faiths. It was full of different churches. Oh, but there's been churches, churches, and there's been brides, brides, but there must come one who's going to step forth, not under the power of a man, but under the power of Almighty God. It shall come to pass, saith the Lord, that at the evening time it shall be light. See, remember, said it's the sign of the Messiah that is going to return in this last age, and he's going to seal his Messiahship. Oh, brother, feel like preaching right now. It's going to be the sign of the Messiah that's going to return in a confusing day, in a dismal day, in a gloomy day, and that sign is going to seal his Messiahship. Brother Bram said, we've come to an age now, amen, I want you to hear this, in Expectations and Leadings of the Spirit, 1957. This lady over here is suffering with an extreme nervous condition and a thyroid, he said, which is making her overweight. And that's what she wants prayed for. That's exactly the truth. Let her be the judge. See, Brother Branham didn't leave it open, amen, just so it would be him. He said, but now you judge what I'm saying. Is that the truth? Yes, Brother Branham, that's the truth. He said, now the Lord Jesus is the one that did that. See, when he was here on the earth, how many knows that to be the Bible? You know, if you ever read the Bible, he says you're going to find the sign of the Messiah. See, that... Oh, is this okay?
If you ever read the Bible, you're going to find the sign of the Messiah. Whose ministry returned with the sign of the Messiah? It wasn't Benny Hinn. It wasn't Oral Roberts. It's not T.D. Jakes. But the only ministry that can be found in the Scripture was the ministry of the seventh angel. See, does that not make sense? See, what? Notice here. I love the way he says this. What was that he that come here to prove his messiahship? Amen. Is that the truth? And the people says yes. He says, well, then this is the end time. See, the prophet said the sun would rise in the east. It would be a dark day. It would not be a day of night, but in the evening time, the sun would shine again. Is that right? He is the light of the world. See, he shined on the Eastern people at the beginning of Pentecost, but they had the same thing, and they took heed to those ignorant fishermen. See, and they had been with Jesus because they'd done the works of Jesus. You see, there's a very key word you're going to find in Brother Bram's ministry, and it's the word same. Same. S-A-M-E. I always slow down because sometimes I spell it wrong. It's going to be same. You're going to see the same Lord Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago is going to return in the end time, and he's going to do the same thing that he did before, he's going to do after. See, the Western world, he says, I'm just going to say what Brother Branham said. And in the Western world, where we are now, after the church age and denomination, he says it's ceasing and it's dying. And notice what he says, and thanks be to God for that. Now, I know people around the message don't want to hear that, but I'm sorry, I'm called to preach the message. A prophet said the denominations is dying, the church ages are ceasing, the world is ending. He says, and thanks be to God. See, when denominational administration runs out, then there's no pope, no bishop, no cardinal, nobody that can put the Holy Ghost out of the church. You see, when somebody recognizes him to have supreme deity, there is no man that can say, now God sit over there and God do this. But they recognize that they're not here to control him, but he's here to control them. That's the beautiful thing about this message, is there ain't no man controlling it. There ain't no church controlling it. There ain't no demon controlling it. There ain't no feeling controlling it. There's only one person that is controlling this message, and it's the revealed Son of Man in this hour. See, he says, thanks be to God, it's dying. See, and now we're coming into that real age. Now, and the Christ is shining forth his blessings to the people again. Now, you might not want to believe me because I'm not a bishop or some cardinal, but God don't always use bishops and cardinals. Sometimes he uses fishermen and so forth like that, so he can take nothing and declare something. If I was a cardinal, you might think I was smart enough. If I had some kind of psychology or something, but I'm not a cardinal. I am your brother. Oh, in order for the Bible days to return, how many believes Bible days have returned? In order for Bible days to return, then we have to return to the Bible. That's good mountain theology right there. In order for the Bible days to return, we've got to return back to the Bible. See, and the evening messenger is going to pick up, I love the way he says this, the original Bible by the Spirit of truth and lead us and guide us back to the promised land. Brother Branham uses that term original Bible three times. Even the messenger, first seal, and three kinds of believers. So contrary to popular belief, Brother Branham believed the Bible. He didn't change the Bible. He didn't water the Bible down. He didn't change the way things were said. Come on, somebody. But for the first time, God had a vessel upon the earth who could not be bought, who could not be sold, who could not be popularity. There was nothing that he was going to close his mouth to in 66 books for some denominational whore system. He was going to stand and declare somebody is going to believe it. And I'll tell you, friends, we got to come to a place that if mama don't go, if daddy don't go, if the preacher don't go, if your deacon don't go, if your favorite songs leader don't go, if nobody goes, you've got to be able to stand and say, I believe this message. I believe the Holy Ghost. I believe there's going to be a rapture, and I believe I'm going in it. There has got to come a place that we stand for something, and we stand for this Bible. That's the only thing that's going to invite him back in the church, is when his word has preeminence. You say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, I should. Because this message comes from the Bible. The Bible and the message ain't two separate things. This message came from the Bible. That's like trying to separate the atoner from the atonement. It makes no sense. See, he's going to come and he's going to reveal the scripture. He's going to reveal the Bible. See, Brother Branham said, watch, they're trying right now to separate the people that needs the blood and bring them some different way. They need the atoning power of the blood, but because they cannot preach it the way the Bible preaches it, they change it to preach it some other way. He said, that's why we got supper rooms instead of upper rooms. He said, that's why we've got fire in the basement rather than in the sanctuary. Oh, you all ought to know me well enough to know I believe in the Holy Ghost and fire. Is that okay? Somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Andy, you shouldn't be so rude when you say stuff like people ought to be praising God till the rafters are ringing. But Terry, I let that bother me for a few days. I let that beat my mind down because they said it wasn't polite, and they said it wasn't. They said it was rude the way I said it. Until I was listening to a tape, and Brother Branham said, "Let me tell you something, church." He said, "The things you've seen God do in this day," he said, "you ought to be shaking the shingles off the roof." Oh, I didn't care no more. I don't care what people think. We don't care what churches think. We are a Bible people with a Bible faith, with a Bible Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. This is not just a church. This is a Book of Acts church. This is an upper room church where what was done in the Bible is being done once again in the very sight of those who will believe him. Brother Branham said, if you can't believe these things, he said, then don't believe me, believe the word. He said, because the things I'm saying is coming from the Bible. In John chapter 5, verse 37, and the Father himself who had sent me bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard of his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. See, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Notice, and search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but those scriptures, they are they which testify of me. You remember in Acts chapter 17, is it okay? In Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas, they were pushed out of Thessalonica and they were sent down to Berea. If you read that there, brother, or the scripture there, my Bible has got a commentary there that says, there they went to Berea and they found Bible students. They went to Berea and found Bible students. And verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that day, they received the word with all readiness of mind. What kind of church would this be? What kind of believer would you be? What kind of home would you have if you would start accepting this message with the readiness of your mind rather than the idea of your ancestors? What kind of victory, young people, would we have in this day and time if we would receive this word with a readiness of mind rather than what some Laodicean has said about the word? You see what that word readiness means? It means zeal. It means spirit. It means eagerness. You see, this was a group of people who was hungry for the Bible. They were hungry for the Word. See, and he goes on to say, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the things that were written of aforetime was not written to be cliches, was not written to be poetry upon our walls, but the things that are wrote in the Bible are words of value. I was thinking the other day, and I was reading a little bit about the Bible and studying some things Brother Bram said about it, and I remembered a statement I heard Brother Donnie say when I was real little. He said it this way. He said, I guarantee you there's people around this message that you'll find the pages of their message books falling out, but you won't find the page of their Bible ever even turned. You see, and the prophet said, in the last days, there's going to come a falling away of Bible faith. They're going to depart from the faith that was in the Scriptures. Oh, let me say this with all of my heart. If we're going to possess our inheritance, we've got to judge the Word as the truth and live by everything it says. You know as well as I know, when something loses value to you, then you don't care for it as much as you used to. When something loses value, you don't care for it. Come on, brothers. You got that brand new bow, and it shot just right, and it was carbon, and it shot the right speed. I mean, you would go clean it if somebody looked at it. You wouldn't hunt if it was raining because you didn't want to get that bow tore up. But now you've had it so long, you throw it in the back of a four-wheeler and you throw it out. You hang it up on a tree. Come on, you know what? It begins to lose value, and you begin to treat it differently than you used to treat it. And that's what people's done about this message. It's lost value to them. The Bible has no authority to them no more. So now they just treat it like the Baptists treat John Wesley or the Methodists treat some other. Come on, friends. If we're going to see miracles, let's get back to the Bible. If we're going to see a rapture, let's get back to Bible faith. See, these things were written aforetime. They were written for a purpose. They were written that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The very Scriptures, Brother Fred, was written that somebody in an age where there was no hope might find hope. Let me just say it the way Brother Branham says it. What is the Bible? The Bible is the very thoughts that God had before the foundation of the world. See, then he expressed them in the Word and he dropped them down to prophets. He did not drop these thoughts down to psychologists. He did not drop these thoughts down to reformers. He dropped these thoughts down to prophets because the Word comes to the prophet. And dropped them down and they wrote them. That's the only thing it just has to unfold. God knows all things, and by a spirit of knowledge, when God dropped it to his prophets as eagles, they would sail up in the air and see the things happen before it even gets there. He said, that's why I believe it. You, oh my. That clock's running faster than I'm preaching. You ever noticed about the mama eagle when she flew over the barnyard? You ever noticed something? She was above the chicken coop. She was above the barnyard. And she was not bringing Junior's inheritance down to Junior, but Junior had to go up to his inheritance. You see, what this word was, it was sent to the heritage of faith, which was the children of Almighty God. Let me tell you something, friends. God is not going to change the standards of his word to meet the supply and demand of a bunch of Laodicean pulpits. But God is going to change the people in those pews until an astronaut faith sets loose inside their body and they see pop in the air and they say, I want my inheritance so bad that I'm not going to stop until I sail into a heavenly atmosphere and I receive what has been given me by my Father. It's there. Somebody's got to go get it. It's there. Somebody's going to go get it. It's there. Somebody's going to go get it. You say, Brother Andrew, I've made too many mistakes. There's no way I'm going to go get it. Somebody else will take it. The problem with that is it's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. It's already got your name on it. I'm going to say it till you get it. It's got your name on it. You say, how does that change anything? Okay, go down there to a hotel somewhere and walk in and say, I want a room. They're all full. Well, you got a room for somebody? Yeah, John Doe hadn't checked in yet. Okay, give me John Doe's room. You can't unless you can prove John's identification. Until you can prove John's identification, you're not getting John's reward. Oh, brother, when that strikes your soul, it'll make you outrun the horses of Elijah. To know that you got a place that is reserved for you. Peter said it's an inheritance that is incorruptible. It fadeth not away. It has no earthly power to it. Oh, let me tell you something. If I was laying down tonight, I'd get up and dust myself off. I'd get up and kick the devil down and say, God's not going to raise up nobody to take my place. If my place is going to be fulfilled, then I'm going to have to take it. And I say tonight, church, you have got a place in the book of Acts. It may be one verse, it may be 50 verses, it may be 100 verses, but somebody is going to write the chapter of your book in the book of Acts. A prophet done said it. It's going to happen. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. There's some people in here tonight. They don't know the word give up. They don't know the word lay down. They don't know the word quit. They only know one word, and that's forward. Through great afflictions, through great trials, through toils, through snares, through dangers, through many fears, I have already come. Hallelujah. The devil can't stand you. You can't stand the devil. There's no love lost. If I was you, Junior, I'd start jumping. When the devil says don't jump, I'd just jump that much higher. When the devil says you're not going to make it, I just remind him my inheritance says I've already made it. When the devil says your kids is going to hell, I would just remind him of a woman by the name of Rahab, and she put a token above the door, and the prophet of God said Rahab went to work until she got all of her family under that token. Hallelujah to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord forevermore. I believe there's some Rahabs in here tonight that has experienced the power of the blood, and they know that token is been applied. Oh, come on, church. I believe there's some people here tonight that knows he's still Jehovah Jireh. You know he's still Jehovah Rapha. There is something about this Bible that is anchored inside of your heart. It's not anchored inside of your feeling. It's not anchored inside of your sensation. It's not anchored inside of your emotion. It's anchored down below the fifth rib. It's anchored inside of your soul. And there ain't no Janus. And there ain't no Jambers. And there ain't no Dathan. And there ain't no Korah. And there ain't no websites that's going to pull the revelation of the word of faith out of our hearts. No way, no how, it's not going to happen. Somebody is going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Somebody is going to put the devil under their feet and it's going to be me. I'm going to overcome hell by the power of the Spirit of faith. Oh, the devil, he didn't want you to become one with this message. Because he couldn't stop the messenger. He ain't going to stop the message. You see, if John was a messenger of Malachi 4, then the scriptures have failed. Brim says this. He said, for the earth would burn as stubble, the righteous would walk out upon the ashes of the wicked. He said, so read the Bible and see what it says. Just read it and see what it says. Read it. Dust the dust off of it. Open it back up. And if you don't understand something, don't get nervous. We've had the perfect interpretation come. John, I'm sorry. I don't believe that this message is Matthew Henry's commentary upon the wall. I don't believe it's John Clark's. I don't believe this message is just another commentary to go pick out when you can't find nothing else to say. I believe what a prophet said when he said, when that which is perfect has come, then that which in part shall be done away with. Do you realize what's coming was already perfect before it got here? The arriving of what was coming was not making it perfect. Woo! Get out of here, devil. I'm a preacher. I'm on a bust. The arriving of what was coming, the arriving of this coming of this, what was going to be perfect, was coming perfect. What it was coming to was making what it was coming to perfect. When that which is perfect is come. Come on now, let's just dramatize this so we can make it live, okay? You got an unperfect church somewhere, and you say, we got the perfect pastor. Now we're just going to dramatize this so the perfect pastor comes to the unperfect church. Are you with me? The unperfect church is not going to change the perfect church or the pastor. I know there's no perfect pastor. No, I'm just trying to make something live here, so stay with me. Let me put it this way. The perfect word that's coming to an unperfect people is going to make that people perfect. You see, the scriptures was written aforetime for our learning. They've been guessing, Brother Joel, for 2,000 years at what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48 when he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father which in heaven is. They've been guessing that for years. They've been probing at it for years. But thanks be to God, we had a prophet that said, I'm preaching to you a perfect message. We're the perfect faith. We're the perfect king. You got a perfect rapture. You're going to have a perfect body. How in the world can you lose when you've been blessed with perfection? The church ain't going to change what's coming. What's coming is going to change the church. Come on, friends. Let me just preach. I'm convinced, Brother Harry, there's some people around this message that believe church order the wrong way. I believe they believe when the Holy Ghost come, they had to put the Holy Ghost in order. But let me remind you, it wasn't the Holy Ghost out of order. It was the church that was out of order. It was the church out of order that the Holy Ghost was coming to put back in order. Oh, let me tell you something tonight, church. You say, Brother Andrew, I've been here for 20 or 30 years, and I can't tell you the times I about jumped out and started shouting. I can't tell you the times I about danced out the aisle, but I'll just tell you, I just can't let loose. Let me tell you something. You say, I'm so afraid of wildfire. Oh, I'll tell you right now, the Holy Ghost is an all-consuming fire. And I've seen the Holy Ghost fall many times in my life, and I've yet to see the true Holy Ghost ever get out of order one time. Oh, do you realize what this is? This is a group of people that realizes in our condition we had no power, but when a word that was perfect came, it put rapturing faith on the inside of us. Oh, and the first seal, I love this. He says the other reformers, by being great men of God, they were seeing the need of the day. He said, but they brought forth a reformation. Now, can I just preach something from my heart? Amen. But Revelation 10 said his message was to reveal, not reform. So he's going to reveal the secrets. He said, what is it? It's the word in the man. Hebrews 4 said that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the sunder of a bone, and a revealer of the secrets of the heart. See, this man of Revelation 10:7 is not a reformer. He is a revealer. Now let me go on. Don't get mad at me yet. What is he going to reveal, Brother Branham? He's going to reveal the mysteries of God, where the church has got it all tied up and everything. He's going to come forth with the word of God and reveal the thing out. Do you realize by... Ooh, I'm about to bust inside. Do you realize by the word that that prophet is revealing? He's literally revealing you right out of that body of mortality into an immortal body. Every gold nugget. Go hear the power of the devil. Go hear the power of decision. Go hear many of the other early messages. And Brother says, what am I doing? I'm going back and I'm digging up those golden nuggets that has been pushed down. He said, and I'm polishing them off and showing the church they've got the same power today that they had when they was roped. By the word, he was revealing you out of this body into your theophany. It wasn't education moving you. It wasn't psychology moving you. It was the stimulation of revelation that was striking 16 cylinders on the inside of your soul. And something said, I can't stay at ease in Zion when I know there's higher heights and there's deeper depths somewhere. You see, when the church has got it all messed up, he is going to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. Notice this, the original Bible faith is to be restored. So it was here at one time. I love preaching this message. You say, Brother Andrew, aren't you afraid somebody's going to think you're a tapeworm or a bookworm? They done tried that, and I don't care. I'll tell you what, friends, you know what it's like to be without hope. And then get some hope. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't look so spiritual now. You know what it's like to be with... Okay, they're going to cut your power off in the morning, and you ain't got the money to pay for it. And somebody hands you the money to pay the power bill, Brother Rand. They hand you the money to pay the power bill, and all you got to do is go pay it. I guarantee you, you're not going to act like you were acting before you had the money to pay the power bill. And a prophet of God said, I see it. I see the power of God being cut off from the church. He said, but if you'll believe this message, he's here today to turn the power back on. We are not a bunch of powerless disciples with a powerless religion and a powerless gospel and a bunch of powerless young people and a bunch of powerless preachers. I'll tell you tonight, church, this is the most powerful group of people that has ever lived or ever breathed upon the face of the earth, to know that we've got a hope in a world that's falling apart. This world is not your end. This Laodicean age is not your end. There is a bride coming of Jesus Christ, and it's taking place right now. We ain't without hope. He said, notice that that seventh angel is going to take those mysteries and restore the original Bible. Oh, I love this, he says. All the mysteries of the seals that never was understood fully. See, the seventh angel is going to fully understand, and he's not going to leave anything off. Now, let me ask you something. If the reformers never fully understood, and they left ends untied, and God says a seventh angel is coming, which is a revealer. I'm slowing down here because I want to drive this home. Which is a revealer, and a revealer brings the word. So when that revealer goes off the scene, he's going to leave the scene differently than the reformers ever left it. Let me say this. People love this quote because it gives them room for an eighth-day messenger. brother told me that he literally looked at me and told me, Brother Andrew, Brother Branham didn't understand everything. He said, you got to be careful. Now, if you put Brother Branham as not understanding everything, you put him as a reformer. And Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, then who shall prepare himself for the battle? But notice, Paul also says that there is a certain sound which is a life-giving sound. There is a certain sound which is a life-giving sound. So the certain sound is giving life. So if an uncertain sound comes, it's taking life out. Is that okay? If an uncertain sound comes, it's taking the life out of the church. Now let me just present you some sounds, okay? Mark 16 is no longer in action. Show me that church with a revival. Let me give you another sound. We don't need preachers no more. Show me that church with a revival. Let me give you another sound. There's two Lords. Show me that church with a revival. They may have denominational revivals, but the prophet said, we're looking for a word revival. Well, Brother Andrew, I got to say that because then people look at us and say we're too simple. Well, let me say this. The Bible may be simple, and I may preach it simple, but it's simply the truth. Is that okay? Now let's look at this way. Men of God labored under the burden of the word of this hour and challenging demons and unbelieving spirits. And let me ask you something. Can I get a witness of a miracle in this building tonight? There's one. There's one. There's one. There's a whole house full of miracles. Can I get a witness of somebody that knows this message put life inside of you? You know that if it wasn't for the sound of a seven angels' message, we would be a brass cymbal and a tinkling cymbal. But because we've heard a certain sound, it's the sound of revelation. It's the sound of divine healing. It's the sound of the Holy Ghost. It's the sound of the bride's revival. Come on, somebody. This is not a Bible of a man's idea. This is the supreme thoughts of God. And it's not coming. It's here. It's here right now. Oh. You see, I love this next one. I'm just going to beat the devil. Now, it's the Holy Spirit in the last days to shine forth the evening lights. It's the Holy Spirit in the last days to shine forth the evening lights. Restoring back. Restoring back the faith that's been trampled down. Reformed ideas, psychologists, educated guesses, denominational interpretations. Well, I'm just going to preach. Took this Bible and trampled it down to where you can buy it at a garage sale for 50 cents. They've got thousands of interpretations of one Bible. Because one man said God didn't mean it that way and ran off on some tangent over here. It may get quiet, but that's quite all right because I'm going to preach. Some man changed the Bible and now there's mass confusion around one book called the Bible. But let me prove to you, brother, that God takes nobodies and makes somebodies. Do you realize how long this Bible had been in print when Brother Branham came on the scene? Do you realize how many copies of this Bible have been sold? Do you realize how many years that men walked all over this Bible? but God's word in a man. Not the man, God in the man picked up the Bible that had been trampled down for years and said, now let's shut up the voice of the denomination. Let's shut up the ideas of some psychology. Let's shut up the seminaries and let's see what he says. Okay, one instance. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. There I will be in their midst. Now, the Bible said that the angel turned his back to Abraham and Sarah and discerned the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you realize Brother Branham didn't have to explain that away through the power and demonstration of the Spirit? Turns his back to the congregation and doesn't miss one time. Oh, I was preaching the other day at church. Y'all ever been through Charleston, West Virginia? You've been through there, Brother Tony. You know when you go through there, there's that big gold building over there. It's got that big, I call it the Taj Mahal of West Virginia. It's got that, I was preaching, man, and something hit me when I heard a prophet say it this way. I've never said one thing under inspiration that I've ever had to take back. Brother, something hit me. I said, I wish I could go stand on the top of that building and scream with the voice of 1,000 angels. This message is the truth. This word has been restored. Open up your eyes, church. Open up the eyes of your understanding. The pillar of fire is not here in some imaginary form. He's here in reality. The same one that was there when this Bible was being wrote is the same one that's here tonight with this Bible being preached. Oh, this may be simple, but it's simply the truth. This message wasn't preached with a question mark. This message was preached with an exclamation mark. This message wasn't preached by some soft coward somewhere. This message wasn't preached by some man that was too lazy to get in the Bible and find something to preach. Well, let me just preach. I know we got a bunch of laziness around us now, but that's not the spirit this message came in. This message didn't come to make a bunch of soft Christians. This message came for one purpose, that somebody may say, surely the Lord is among us again. Oh, he said they've been trampling it down through condemning. He said, but notice here, condemning the denominations and coming back to the original faith with original Bible faith, the original Bible, believing every word of it, not adding to it, not making it say this and say that. Just say it the way it's said. I'm almost afraid to ask if I can have a few more minutes. Return back to the original word in faith. See, the message of the hour is return back to the word. Notice, Brother Branham said, what is this message? It's the sign to the churches. It's a sign to the people. The hour is here. The token has got to be applied. Now, by faith, take the token and apply it. If the church way back there in that third age had only held on to the revelation of the living word in their midst. You see, the living word was in the midst of the church. He said, but notice, the power of God would have not have faded as it did in those dark ages. If they would have only got a hold of it. See, notice, and right today, when the church returns to the true word in faith. So it's not coming by intellect, it's coming by faith. we can say without a doubt that the glory of God and the wonderful acts of God will be in her midst again. You see, faith. Notice this. Let me hurry. I got to hurry. In the end time, there is two spirits in the land. There's the spirit of original, and there's the spirit of hybrid. You notice there is an original church, and there is a hybrid church. You see, the original church has come back to the original Bible. But the hybrid church has taken that Bible and mixed it with some substitute. That's the reason he said, I'm screaming across the world. I'm preaching on these tapes. I'm sending out to the world that they might be warned and get back to the faith. You see, when God, notice this, I just want to read this. When God in his labor pain was bringing forth you, knowing that, now Brother Bram's preaching here, and he's straightening out an idea on predestination, on election. He says, when God in his labor pain was bringing forth you, knowing that what you would do, he positionally placed you into his own body to be a housewife, to be a farmer, to be a preacher, to be a prophet, to be this or to be that. He placed you positionally that when you've come from the garlic lands of Egypt through sanctification, Ephesians 4:30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed. Notice then God having predestinated the church. Very predestinated the church. He said all the peoples, there'll be millions times millions that will walk very religious and be deceived. But the only ones that will not be deceived will be those that have come over into the promised land. The only ones that is not going to be deceived is those that have come over in the promised land. What is the promised land? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, notice this, who before the foundation of the world had their names put on the Lamb's book of life, and they is come over into the promised land, has come over into the promised land, and is enjoying it. Brother, I don't know about you, but I've come over in the promised land, and I'm enjoying it. What about you? What about you, brother? What about? Are you enjoying it? Sis, are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying it? Brother Wes, are you enjoying it? Brother, are you enjoying it? William, are you enjoying it, brother? Brother Tyler, are you enjoying? Come on, somebody. This is the promised land. We ain't got no business sitting here acting like we got to change the Bible to have church. For the first time, we can just show up and sing songs, raise our hands, preach the scripture, preach the Holy Ghost, and we ain't got to worry about some man telling us not to do it, telling us not to say it, telling us we ought to. Oh, I'll tell you what's a problem. Many people, he said, they're afraid when you get in the promised land, you're going to act funny. Yeah, they're afraid when you get over in the Holy Ghost, it's going to make you do something. You'll be ashamed of people. He said they're afraid they'll cry. He's afraid their sweetheart's going to see them cry. They're afraid mama or your neighbor or your boss is going to see you. But can I close on a man that didn't care about nothing? He's seen the original word coming back to its original place. He said, brother, let me tell you about a man one time before closing. There was a man named David. He said, when we think about the ark of God had been pulled down in the Philistine land, it had come across, been pulled by an ark, and an old ox was pulling them. When David saw that ark coming, he had a little gown on him, and he run out there. Now, is it okay to preach the unseen for a minute? You realize, Brother Darrell preached a message at the youth camp on the unseen. Powerful message. Do you realize what makes you act funny is you see it by the unseen before you see it in the scene? You see it in the unseen. You see it coming. You see it on its way. And it so stimulates you that the same people go out there, Brother Harry, and say, "What do you see?" Can you imagine? Oh, let me have some liberty here. The honky tonks ain't even got cranked up yet. Can you imagine when David, Brother Watts, can you imagine when Simeon got up that morning, the prophet of God said he went over there and got in the scrolls of Isaiah. He said Simeon got to reading about the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah over in the scrolls of Isaiah. He said Simeon got so excited. He said he jumped up and he was probably the first one at church. I'm talking about what Bible faith will do for you. I don't know what Hollywood faith will do for you. I don't know what Hollywood evangelism will do for you. But I do know what end time evangelism will do for you. I don't know what psychology will do for you. I don't know what education will do for you. I don't know what the intellectual guesses about this mess will do. But I do know what simple faith in a simple God, in a simple word, through the simple lips of a simple believer will produce in the church of the living God. Oh, brother. You've come too late to tell me that God ain't still moving. Simeon got up that morning. Simeon got so excited. He was the first one at church. But I said, Simeon walked in, said, "Oh, can't you see it?" Said, "Oh, can't you see it?" Said, "He's coming, he's coming." He said, nobody can understand what he was talking about. He said, but Simeon, by a revelation of faith. Simeon, by a revelation of faith, seen Mary carrying that baby into his purpose. He seen Mary bringing the Christ child into the temple. Oh, God. Brother, Abraham said, now notice here in type, he was seeing Christ coming back in the temple in the last days of his people. He said, now do you see why? It's not the holy people. It's the holy God in the people. David went out there. Can you imagine? David got up that morning. Walked out there. Had his clothes, his gown on, his clothes, whatever he had on. Got out there. Looked around. Said, my, ain't this a beautiful day for the ark to come back to its rightful place. See, the reason you're still looking at me is because you think I'm funny. And that's why you're afraid to take God at his word, because it'll make you do things that people call you funny for. But let me ask you something. Who are you worried about, people or God? What are you worried about, what people say or about what the word says God will do for you? Have you ever noticed something? We worry more about what people think than we worry about what God thinks. Brother Andrew, you shouldn't say that. Oh, but I should, because I'm a witness. I'm going to tell on myself. I was out a few days at the park out there. I was out listening to a tape, walking through there, just out in the park getting a little exercise, believe it or not. I was out in the park listening to a tape, and I changed over to a gospel song. The tape in, I turned a gospel song on. I just finished hearing Brother Branham preach about the blood. And the song that come on was, "There's power, there's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb." Brother, there was somebody singing. I don't know who they were, but somebody got a hold of the microphone. You know what they said? They said, "I just won't testify." They said, I'm closing. They said, "I just want to testify to you." They said, "I was bound in sin. I was going to hell. He said, I didn't know nothing to do with God or anything about that blood. He said, I literally thought people was crazy that talked about that blood. He said, but then one day I thought I was doing okay. He said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me I was dying of cancer. He said, when the doctor told me that, it changed my entire attitude. He said, some preacher came by and introduced me to the blood and the power of the blood and the glorious word of the God of Jesus Christ. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you all are probably thinking I'm crazy. He said, but I know what it's like to be on my way to hell without hope, knowing I've got cancer in my body. He said, Jesus Christ came into my soul, saved my soul. Said, I went back to the doctor, healed me of the cancer. I don't even know what this man believed or where he went. He said, but I want to tell you something. He said, don't mind me when I get excited about the blood. Brother Terry, I was out in a park in a public place with my headphones on. When he said that, brother, I just took a little dancing spell right there in the middle of that park. Then some old spirit got on me and said, but wait a minute, look, there's people looking at you. So I acted like a good message believer. I straightened my tie up, got back in order, kept on walking. Brother Wallace, but then all of a sudden, something dawned on me. You're worried about what them people think. And them people hadn't done one thing for you. They didn't save you. They didn't heal you. They didn't give you the Holy Ghost. They didn't give you a message. They didn't give you a revelation. Brother, I didn't care no more. And let me tell you something. I'm not worried about what Slewfoot thinks tonight. I'm not worried about what the devil thinks. He's never blessed me. He's never healed me. He's never changed me. He's never gave me hope. He's never turned the lights on when the lights was completely dark. When the power of God was going to be cut off from my life. He never paid the power bill. Oh, but Jesus did. I said, Jesus did. He saved my soul. He changed my nature. He put himself inside of me. He gave me a rapture. He gave me a promise. I seen it. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see your victory? Can you see your deliverance? Can you see your miracle? Can you see your family saved? Can you see your kids full of the Holy Ghost? Can you see the power of God roaring through your home 24/7? Can you see it? Can you see it? You don't see it in the natural, but you see it in the spiritual. Then rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the unseen by a divine promise. We've got a right to do this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We got a right.
Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hey. I'm just acting the same way the people that had the faith I've got acted. Come on, musicians. Brother Bram said he got out there, said him, the king of Israel. Well, Brother Andrew, the Bible says we're going to be crowned kings and priests, and we're going to crown him king of kings. So it's not proper for a king to act like that. Well, if it ain't proper for the house of God to act like that, tell me who it is proper to act like that. But Ram said the reason people don't want dancing is because the devil took dance. Oh, y'all should have been there last night. Y'all think y'all seen Brother Donnie dance. You ain't seen nothing. But the devil took dancing and perverted dancing. Brother Donnie said the problem with some people is they hung their dancing shoes up in the closet. Said everything got converted but their dancing shoes. But let me just remind you, before Elvis had the jailhouse rock, the book of Acts had the angel house rock. the rock of revelation shook the prison house that God's believing children was in. And if God did it for them, then whatever prison you're in tonight, I believe the same angel is in this building tonight to shake the prison walls down until they fall at your feet and you start dancing on what used to hold you. You start rejoicing on what used to bind you. Oh, come on, somebody. This is the Liberty Hour. This is the Jubilee Hour. This is the hour of worship. The King Lamb has come to be worshiped. This is the book of Acts. This is a Bible faith. Oh, he went out there. Said his wife looked out at him and said, "That idiot. Look at him out there the way he's acting. Throwing his feet up in the air." Jumping around acting like that. Why, he must be crazy. Well, you've embarrassed me. Why, you king, my husband out there doing like that. Brother Bram said David knew who he was. He knew what he believed. He wasn't no hybrid. I didn't get to it, but let me just paraphrase it. Brother Bram said the church is in a hybrid condition because it was born condemned. He said, then whatever is representing you, he said, if it's condemned and it's representing you, he said, then you're condemned with it. Now, he was not condemning those people in those systems. He was condemning the system they were represented by, and therefore by association, they're identified, condemned by the system that they're under. Don't get mad at me. But here we are, and we're not represented by some denomination. We're represented by the blood. I'm sorry, I'm not acting condemned no more, because I ain't condemned no more. I was born in sin, shaping iniquity, come in this world speaking lies, and had to have a new birth. But when the gene seed was quickened on the inside of my soul, that was already there from before the foundation of the world, when that gene was quickened, brother, it moved me from being condemned to being a conqueror. It moved me from being the walked on to being the one walking. Oh, come on, church. What are you tonight? Are you a bunch of hybrid faith Christians, or are you a bunch of Acts Christians that's got a genuine faith with a real revelation? You know who you are. You know where you're at. You know where you're going. David said, tomorrow I'll do better. Just come on back. Don't you know I was dancing unto the Lord? You see, he crossed over. He was in the land of promise. He had lost all of his self-styles and muck of the world. He was so happy to know that the ark was coming in to his own city. How many has got loved ones out of the ark of safety that you want to see back in the ark of safety? I don't think there's a one of us in. Let me tell you something. David seen the ark coming back in its rightful position in its own city before it ever even got there. And David started rejoicing. You know what you need to do? You need to tell the devil, my family members don't belong to you. They belong in the ark of safety. And I'm going to start rejoicing right now because I see them already there before they come there physically. Bible faith ain't no weak faith. It's a real faith. And oh, I tell you, some people's afraid to receive the Holy Ghost. They're afraid they might speak with tongues. They're afraid that somebody would say, now he's one of them tongues guys. This is what Brother Bram says. They're afraid to come to the church, take that original word, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, because they're ashamed of it. He said, uh-oh. Somebody said to me the other day, I'll have to recall my tapes because I preached on being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, I ain't recalling them. I'm making more of them. And how many of you tonight's going to look the devil in the face and say, devil, I'm not second guessing my salvation no more. I'm not second guessing my redemption. I'm not second guessing my healing. I'm not second guessing nothing. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we've returned to the Bible and we've got the same faith that they had in the Bible. And whatever the result was then, it'll be the result tonight. God still moves. God still moves. God is still coming down in churches by the power of this word and filling people's hearts. You see what God's waiting on? Brother Bram said this way. He's waiting on somebody that believes he's got the same power and they've got the same faith to operate that power. Oh, Brother Andrew, the days of healing's over, really? Well, I don't mind to testify if that's okay. My pastor, Brother Roy, called me today. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, something like that. He went to the doctor and they found a blockage in one leg, an artery. So Brother Roy's 93 now, so they found a blockage in one, so he goes back for blood work or something. Yeah, I guess it was Thursday, went for blood work, and they found a blockage in both. So they said, we're going to move your surgery, your operation from the end of the month up to the second, or to tomorrow. So they took him in. So Brother Roy called me today. I already knew the testimony, but he called me after he was feeling a little bit better. He said, I got the voicemail if you don't hear it. He said, Brother Andrew, do you remember praying for me a few weeks ago in the office? I thought, yeah, I remember that. He said, on voicemail, he said, well, you prayed that when they went in there, they wouldn't even find no blockages. He said, and I thought, with my age, you're going to find them. He said, but then something struck my heart. That's doubting. And I took God and his word. And he said, when you said that, something moved over me to believe it. He said, and today, or yesterday, he's home. He said, and yesterday, they went in there to do the operation, and the blockages weren't even there. They were there the day before, but they weren't there. Oh, come on, church. I believe right here tonight, cancer can be there and it can be gone the next minute. High blood pressure can be there right now and it can be gone the next minute. I believe suicidal spirits can be plaguing your mind right now, but in just a few moments of the pillar of fire, he can totally annihilate those suicides. I believe depression has got to go tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe nervous conditions, stomach conditions, all kinds of conditions has got to bow to the Bible God, which is Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? Can I hear I believe it over here? Will somebody say I believe it? Will somebody say I believe it? Do you believe it over here? Do you believe it back there? I believe homes can be restored. Marriages can be put back together. All things are possible right now. Won't you raise your hands to him and ask him for it right now? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we raise our hands up to you. We lift up our voices unto you. You are still the King of Kings. You are still the Lord of Lords. And Father, we unashamedly say tonight, we stand upon this Bible. We stand upon this message. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in the supernatural. We believe prison walls are being destroyed right now. We believe healing is taking place. We believe testimonies are going to come of the miraculous supernatural power. Hallelujah, of Almighty God. And Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, upon the authority of Almighty God, I challenge you, leave this place, leave every believer, leave their mind, leave their thoughts, leave their emotions, leave their bodies, in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, just get off this property. You ain't welcome here, you ain't welcome in the church, you ain't welcome in the pulpit, you ain't welcome on the platform, you ain't welcome in the pew. The only place you're welcome is underneath our feet, and in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Almighty God, we're going to raise up our faith. We're going to raise up our feet, believing you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to put every devil under our feet, and we're going to walk out of here free in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you right now, open up the windows of heaven, dear God. Fill every empty vessel, fill every broken vessel. Lord, I pray the potter, you yourself, would come down right now and begin to mend that broken vessel, begin to mend that broken heart, those that's got needs of financial needs, whatever they may be. In the name of Jesus Christ, I lift you up as Jehovah Jireh. You are still the provider. May you come down among us and take a spiritual word and make it literally spiritually manifested right in front of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer, you've got to leave bodies. High blood pressure, you've got to leave bodies. Nervousness, you've got to leave bodies. We didn't come here to play devil. We're not a hybrid church. We're not a dwarf church. We're not barely getting around. We're not being pumped up and primed up. But there's a gene seed on the inside of our soul that don't have to be pumped up, don't have to be primed up. It came already ready from Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let a revival break out in every heart. Let a revival break out in every home. Let a revival break out on someone's job. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you would meet needs that are not even aware of them yet in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May you do it right now. And Father, I pray that right now we would let the spirit of worship loose in this building. We wouldn't hold back on God. We wouldn't hold back on the one that's done everything for us, that's healed us, that saved us, that's raised us, that's revealed himself to us, that brought us out of denominations into this marvelous light. May a spirit of worship come across this congregation, that they would begin to lift up the name of Jesus. They would begin to lift up his powers once again, until all hands that have been heavy could be lifted, until all broken hearts could be mended by the blood of Jesus Christ. Grant it tonight, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, won't you just raise your hands to him right now? I don't know where you're at. You may be in the nursery. You may be outside. You may be sick in your body. I don't know. But I'm here lifting up Jesus Christ tonight. He's in this building. He's among the church. And he's here to perform the wonders of his word. Do you believe him? Do you believe him right now? If you believe him, then start worshiping him. If you believe him, then start thanking him. You ain't got to beg him. You ain't got to beg him. It's already yours. You're not an orphan tonight. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a child of the living God. You got a place at the table. You ain't got to sit under the table no more. You got a place at the table. This inheritance has got your name on it. You might have run from it for a long time, but he's here tonight to pull you right back to where you belong in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the worshipers arise among us tonight. Let the spirit of worship rise. Let us draw a line in the sand and say, devil, I refuse to return back to that hybrid side. I refuse to return back to that formal side in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare today, Satan, it's over. It's over, Satan. You don't control my emotions. You don't control my feelings. I give all that I am unto the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, won't you just receive it right now? Brother Abraham said it this way. He said, do you believe he's here? If you believe he's here, then right now, just accept it. That's always astounded me. He didn't have to work nothing up. He just said, if you believe, receive it right now. All things. Yeah, I may have shared this here, but it's on my heart. I want to share it again, if that's okay. Do you realize this message is not a bunch of noise? You go hear Tommy Osborne's testimony about Brother Branham. He said, we was a bunch of noise making Pentecostal racket people. He said, the more noise we thought we made, he said, the more we thought we worshiped, and he said, the more we thought the devil was afraid of us. He said, until one night I stepped in the presence of William Branham's meetings. He said, and I watched William Branham bring a deaf girl and a dumb girl up on the pulpit. And he said, I was up in the balcony. He said, now this girl's got a demon of deafness and dumbness up on her. He said, everybody bow your heads. Tommy Osborne said it this way.
He said, before I could even bow my head, he said, I was already ready to go down there and start making a bunch of noise. He said, I was ready to go down there and do business. He said, but when we all started bowing our heads, before I got my head bowed and it raised back up, Brother Branham said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I adjure you, you demon of deafness and dumbness, come out of the child never to return into her again. Let her be whole from this night on. He said, right when he got done, he said, raise your heads, everybody. He said, I was in ready mode. I was ready to go down there and make noise. He said, Brother Branham looked at her and said, sis, turn the congregation, wave your hands to them, shake your head and say something. The little girl turned, obeyed the command, waved her hand and spoke. You know what, Brother Matthew, something struck my heart. Them Pentecostals was making noise trying to get him there. But the noise coming from this message was coming because he was already there. We're not making noise trying to get him here tonight. All this noise you've heard is because some Bible believers has been recognizing his presence is among us. They've been worshiping him. They've been making him welcome. They've been receiving what they've been receiving, deliverance. How many can say tonight, devil, I'm not coming back to that formal side. I'm not coming back to that hybrid side of faith. I'm going to stand on the genuine word faith. Do you love him tonight? Won't you raise your hands to him and tell him how much you love him? Tell him how much he means to you. Won't you sing it for us, brother? If you need prayer tonight, come. We'll pray for you. But I believe he's here right now. Receive whatever you have need of in the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, hallelujah. I see that you are drawing a line in the sand.
Oh, yes.
I want to be standing by your side.
Oh, yes.
Holding your hand.
Oh, let's just raise our hands. Close our eyes. Let's just worship him now. Make him feel welcome tonight.
This is my prayer.
Praise him for what he's done for
this
you.
Is my plea.
Praise him for what he's given you. Praise him for how he's blessed you. Praise him for that blessing he gave you.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let that revelation drop. Let it drop in your soul tonight.
Worshippers arise.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, he's here tonight, friends. Just worship him.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it grow.
Song of praise.
As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song.
Oh, won't somebody just worship him? Won't somebody just love him tonight?
Just reach.
gonna be standing by your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come, Lord, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea, let the worshipers rise, let his sons, his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers, like Jesus loves.
Everybody's rising up. How are we rising? By this Bible faith. By the perfect word coming to an imperfect people. But perfection is setting in on us. Do you believe it tonight? Do you believe it tonight? We're the sons and daughters of the living God. Let's just worship Him tonight before we go. God bless you.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
We're the New Testament church. Rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church. Rising up. Rising up, rising up, rising up. We're a New Testament church, rising up. As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down. Rising up, rising up. We're the New Testament church. Rising up, rising up, rising up. Testament church rising up. Now the Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. But if you think it's all long gone and all God's miracles are done, we have some good news to bring to you. In this last day's report of the Spirit more and more, like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. Church rising up, rising up, rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. We're rising up, rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. Church rising up. We're the New Testament, fully restored church by Malachi 4. And we're rising up. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody ought to test. Testify. For God I live. For God I die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. God, I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. There have been times in my life I was down in despair. I fell down on my knees and I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His
what you've done. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live. For my God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Those three Hebrew boys, they could testify how God took the heat out of the fiery fire. Oh, come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions were made pillows for my head to lay. Somebody ought to testify. Test their hand. Somebody ought to clap your hands. For God I'll live. For God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. There've been times in my life I was down in despair. I fell down on my knees and I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings. I named them one by one. But most of all, I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Somebody ought to testify. Testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Say this, for God I will live, for my God I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. We got plenty to testify.
Brother Louie gave me a real hard job tonight, ending this service. Amen. Has it not been so good to be in church tonight? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for a message of truth and a message of power and brothers that can bring it in such reality to just make you just want to just reach up there and grab it. Thank you, Brother Andrew. I was engulfed in that tonight. I appreciate that. We so appreciate our brother. Look forward to coming back in the morning for more. Round two. Devil got his head beat in Johnson City tonight. Sounds like it happened in North Carolina last night. We appreciate that. Let's just sing Victory Is Mine tonight as we go. I believe that can just be our testimony tonight. Leaving here with victory. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Healing today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Healing today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today. Peace is mine, peace is mine, God's peace today.